It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Legislation to adjust the state's foster care system is making its way through the state capitol.
Right now in our system in West Virginia, things medically are falling through the cracks, and it's a big problem.
We'll hear thoughts about how lawmakers are addressing the issue. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A bill to modify West Virginia's foster care system, House Bill 2010, would transition the system to a managed care model. The issue has sparked debate at the State House and the state. On last night's episode of the Legislature Today, health reporter Carol Lofton brought both sides of the issue together to have a discussion on the bill and on ways to meet in the middle.
Our Children Our Future does not support moving forward to a managed care plan. Talk to me a little bit why that is.
Well, there are a number of reasons why that is. One of the major reasons is that we really believe that services need to be strengthened. There are many things going right with our child welfare system and certainly within DHHR. That need to be supported and built up from the community level. This goes the complete opposite direction and takes what we have of federal funds and other things, gives it out to an out-of-state MCO corporation who then will use 10 to 15% of it for profits and for administrative costs. That same amount of money, the $22,000 to $25,000, could be used to strengthen things like Safe at Home, to get us ready for the Families First initiative that's coming down right now from the feds that we don't even know exactly what's going to be required through that. We really feel strongly that we need to go back to where we were in West Virginia back in the early 90s when we were doing wraparound services, and we had started that on a pilot level until those funds had been pulled out and put somewhere else. DOJ had a bad report that came in that folks are really aware of, and things needed to be changed. And within that plan, there was not at all a call for going to an MCO. What there was a call for was strengthening things on a community-based level for kids, both coming into care and also kids within the community.
Ms. Kennedy Rickman, you work for NECO, which is a foster care organization that serves several states, including West Virginia, which is where you're focused, and Georgia. Georgia currently uses an MCO for their foster care system, and NECO supports that same move in West Virginia. Talk to me a little bit about why that is.
So we're actually currently working with MCOs in the foster care population in Georgia and Kentucky. And what we've been able to see through that work is a continuity of care. Right now in our system in West Virginia, things medically are falling through the cracks. And it's a big problem. And that care manager that would be provided to the foster child and the foster parent as a part of the team will really be able to pull those records together and allow for that continuity of care. So if children come in and they've already been vaccinated, they're going to be able to get their hands on those records. If they're on medications that aren't on site when that child is removed, we don't often know that. So they're going to be able to get us that information so that children really are getting the medical care they need, as well as behavioral health. So at the end of the day, what we've seen with the MCOs is a level of accountability, of efficiency, and assistance to the state, because we are in a crisis right now, and CPS workers can only do so much. And they're not medical experts, and my foster parents are not medical experts, nor are my case managers. So we really need that person who can help tie everything together so that the children are getting what they need in that realm.
And this is for both of you. I mean, what do you feel like would need to happen in order for you guys to meet in the middle and in order for this to sort of become?
Oh, I think there are many ways to be able to meet in the middle. First of all, would be to start meeting, to have an open, transparent process where we come to the table and we begin discussing those things. Organizations like Children's Home Society, Steve Tuck, who's the executive director there, Marissa Sanders, who was the Foster Adoptive and Kinship Parents Network. Those folks weren't invited to the table. Those are key people that we need to be discussing these issues. There's also other really important pieces that are missing.
And how about for you? I mean, what would need to happen in order to meet in the middle with these different sides?
I think that we do need to meet together. I think that a big part of the legislation is really setting the mandate that these things occur, and there are timelines drawn out in the legislation for exactly that, to bring stakeholders to the table to be a part of finalizing items. So I think that there's a time to get things moving, and then there is that time for us to bring everyone together to really work out the details. The legislators, they're not going to mandate everything that needs to be done. That would be the stakeholders in the department.
I absolutely agree with her. The big challenge is this bill does mandate managed care. So yes, we can all get to the table, but that big decision would already have been taken away and taken off the table. And those are the issues that we need to address together before this move forward.
That was Kristen O'Sullivan of Our Children, Our Future campaign, and Amy Kennedy Rickman of West Virginia NECO, speaking with health reporter Carol Lofton on the legislature today. You can hear the full interview on our website, wvpublic.org. According to West Virginia's Division of Corrections and Rehabilitation, nearly 10,000 people are locked up in the state's corrections system. Most of these people will be released and need to reintegrate into society. Wheeling Jesuit University recently hosted an event to talk about the challenges of reentry. Corey Nolinger reports.
Wheeling Jesuits Appalachian Institute held the panel discussion called Just Work. All of the panelists were women working to change status quos. Their common goals are to help people like Wheeling Jesuit alum and recently released felon Theo Blackston, who attended the event.
I was released on February 19th after 11 years on second-degree murder. I'm waiting for somebody to give me an opportunity, you know what I mean? Like I said, I don't want this young man's death to be in vain, and I just need an opportunity, and I know that I can help some people. That's my goal.
The women on the panel all play a role in organizations trying to help people in Blackston's situation. This included West Virginia Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation Commissioner Betsy Jividen, Ziegenfelder CEO Lisa Allen, Director of the West Virginia Herbert Henderson Office of Minority Affairs Jill Upson, and the Director of the YWCA's Women Inspired in New Directions program, Laura Albertini-Weigel. Albertini-Weigel says in her program, success is measured in small but significant milestones.
Success is usually tied to wealth in all of the material things. And in recovery, it's not that way. We look at the small things. You know, did you get your community service in? Did you find out where we have to apply to get your birth certificate?
Reentering society after incarceration is a challenging process. Blackston says even seemingly simple bureaucratic tasks are daunting.
Trying to get my license back is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I graduated from this school and I thought that was the hardest thing. I feel like if I can get this license, I can take off.
Fixing all of the issues facing those trying to assimilate is a complicated task. But West Virginia Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation Commissioner Betsy Jividen says helping released prisoners find a productive place in society will make communities safer.
If we can get some awareness and some realization among the communities that people are going to have better, safer communities if we help people find jobs and find housing, and that this is something we all have to do.
Events like Just Work aim to help bring that awareness to communities. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Corey Nollinger in Wheeling.
Singer and songwriter Amy Ray has been a member of beloved folk duo Indigo Girls for over 30 years and has released several albums of her own material since 2001. She brings her band and songs from her latest release, Holler, to this week's broadcast, Mountain Stage, including our song of the week, Sure Feels Good Anyhow. Thank you.
Southern hospitality. I know that you don't like me, but it sure feels good anyway. I know that you don't like me, but it sure feels good anyway. I'm gonna tell them boys, don't be a drag. Ain't you tired? The damned old flag. Well, it ain't Southern pride, it's just Southern hate. And I know from your mamas that you're better than that. Every time I call, will you have my back? The time of muddy buddies and a tall glass of sweet tea.
Amy Ray singing her Mountain Stage Song of the Week sure feels good anyhow to hear this and more. Tune in this weekend as we kick off a new season of Mountain Stage and celebrate our 35th anniversary. Coming to you Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.